Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. Saturated or just soggy? Which one are you? Let's find out. So, saturated and soggy both generally mean to be soaked. But there's two very different thoughts between these two words. So saturated is completely soaked, kind of like a sponge that can't hold anything else. But saturated also means to satisfy completely, right? There's like these general positive vibes with being saturated. Beyond soaked, soggy just means spiritless, dull, and lifeless, right? Soggy just weird. It's gross. Soggy is, right? How many of you want a piece of soggy bread right now? Right? Nobody. Soggy is just weird. We don't want to be soggy. We want to be saturated. So you heard about some of our experiences at life. And that just really scratches the surface. It's really hard to put into words all the things that the Holy Spirit can do. You probably recognized that before, right? It's so powerful to you, but you don't really have words to describe it. And so as I was contemplating what God was doing at life, I came to a realization, not really a revelation, nothing that I didn't already know, but things that we need to be reminded about. As followers of Jesus, we would say that we want to be saturated by God, right? And that's what was happening at life. We were being saturated by God. But here's what happens. If we don't let God completely soak us, instead of saturated, we just become a soggy mess, right? God wants to completely soak us, completely saturate us. We put up the umbrella, put on the rain jacket, and, right, we get a little bit, but we don't become saturated. Sometimes we just get soggy. And soggy's probably not good for much. So, as you heard, right, there were 6,000 of us or so there. And from, like, basically the time we get up till we go to bed late, right, there's worship, there's teaching, there's sermons, there's seminars, there's small group time, there's just random good times, right? There's fun. There's singing. There's magic show, which was really cool. Luke's not here today, but one of our teens, right? He does magic. He'll have to. Remind me to introduce you to him next week and let him show you his cool card trick. It's awesome. So all of these things are going on, but what are they? It seems like maybe there's not a whole lot in common with a card trick and worship with 6,000 people, except there is. The truth is that all of these things were working to saturate us all day. We were not necessarily reading from the Bible all day, but all day we were hearing His truths, His promises, right? We were worshiping together with people and just His, even though we weren't necessarily reading from the Bible all day individually, we were being saturated with the truth of His Word, right? The Spirit was just saturating us the whole time, right? It's His truths, His promises, the things of His kingdom that saturate us, that result in what we experience at life. And that happens even if you don't necessarily realize it. So the result is that God's worth and truth cleanses us, purifies us, restores us, brings us back into communion with Him, connection to Him. There's a Native American Cherokee parable that you might have heard, right? So a grandfather was talking to his grandson, teaching about life, and says, all of us have two wolves that battle in us. An evil one who wants to bring the evil things of the world into us, and a good one who wants to bring the good things of the world to us. And the son asks, the grandson asks the kind of the obvious question, right? Which one is going to win? And the grandfather replies, the one that you feed is the one that's going to win. So that story isn't talking about Jesus, but the truth is, and the moral of that story is, does fit perfectly here, right? When we allow all of the things of God to saturate us, then we experience God. He changes us. We can live for Him. When we let the things of the world saturate us I mean, then we're very much like the world when we do that. So the first bullet, for those of you that like to follow along, is just saturated in the things of God. Right? Almost 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Right? This is what we've been talking about. This is what happens when you allow God's truth to just saturate you. This is feeding the wolf, right? Feeding the good wolf. That's what this is. This is being saturated and not just soggy. Are we allowing God's goodness to fill us? Or are we just sampling some of God's goodness, right? Maybe here on Sunday morning, you know, maybe a few minutes here and there. So are we just sampling God's goodness and then letting the world fill us? Or are we really letting God's, the things of God, saturate us? There's a concept of garbage in, garbage out. It's universal. It applies to all systems, right? It applies to our body, food. It applies to computers, right? If you put garbage in, garbage out is what you get. And I surely hope that the AI people remember that. Right? Yeah. Here's why it works and why our experience of life was so awesome. When we're being washed by His truth, His word, His spirit, that we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit within us. When we're encouraged by other believers, we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit within us. And then when that happens, we are where we are created to be. And that is connected to our Creator. When we're connected to God Most High, everything changes. And we could physically see it in our group, right? The spiritual changes manifesting into physical things. I mean, I think maybe Donna mentioned that, right? We could literally see it happening. I also had a complete stranger come to me and ask if I would pray with him. This guy was like NFL linebacker size, but probably only 16 years old. And I was like, yeah, let's pray. And he said this. He said, I've been looking for something, I don't know what, for like 2 years. But now I know that it's Jesus that I've been looking for. And I could, as he was talking to me, I could literally see his whole body changing. And he accepted Christ right there. So I think the last number I heard was 600 people accepted Christ at this conference. Really awesome. And in addition to that, about 600 people said that God called them to ministry. So that's a lot of work going on. And even that probably doesn't even scratch the surface of all of the things that God was doing in that place. So you have probably experienced something like that in your life, right? Where the Holy Spirit is just working and you feel saturated. I also know that there's this lie floating around out there. And we've all heard it and believed it to some level. And it goes something like, I think maybe Allison was kind of getting to this, right? Something like, right now I'm home and it's just different now, right? I can't experience that here. You don't know what my job is like. It's the opposite of heaven, right? There's no saturation going on there. And right, we have struggles and just all these things going on. So it can't be like that. And you might be thinking, man, I'm lucky if I can be soggy, let alone saturated. But it's simply not true, right? We've all thought it. We've all probably believed it. But it's simply not true. And here's why, right? I'm an extremely logical person. And here's the logic. So if that's true, then what we're saying is that God can speak and create the entire universe. Right? He can come and be born here, live, do ministry, perform miracles, die, raise from the dead, and save all of mankind. But he can't meet me at the place that I work. And this doesn't make any sense. You know, come on. Right. I get it. I felt the same thing as you, where I'm like, this, but I can't do this here. it's a lie. You can do it there. Think about all of the miracles you've seen even right here, right? People that the doctors have said, there's nothing we can do. There's no hope. And they're still with us. How about this? Two things you haven't heard about life. So we drove one of the school buses, like 1,400 miles there and back. We got home Wednesday evening. Thursday morning, when the school went to go to a field trip, the bus wouldn't start. Tell me God didn't do that, right? God brought us home. Let's see. There was another one. One night, we came back to the hotel to kind of do small group. It was pretty late. I had to go back up to the room to get something. When I got off of the elevator, I heard what sounded like angels singing, right? So our group was somewhere just singing and praising. And I just stood there and listened for a little bit. It was so good. And people are just walking by, getting blessed by that. And I could see those, like a few of those people, right? They were blessed by hearing that. I have no idea what their relationship with God is, but they were blessed. And I don't think Donna will mind if I tell this. I'm sorry if you do. Right? We're good. We're good. So Donna told you that she went to this thing called the Missions Experience. It was about missions and our part in missions. And she was really right touched there. One morning, Donna woke up with a pretty high fever and like pain in her side and not feeling good. We called her mom, like, I don't know, we're going to have to take her to the doctor. We prayed for her for healing. 2 minutes later, she was like, I'm good to go. And you know what she would have missed that morning in the service if she hadn't gone? All about missions, like the call to serve. And God was like, no, you're coming to that because I want you there. Right? God is doing all these crazy things, but yet we're thinking, God can't be where I work. It's just too hectic there for God. That's crazy, right? God can be anywhere, do anything. God wants Donna at that thing. No sickness is going to stop him from bringing her there. God wants us to come home from Indianapolis safely, right? The bus will work until we get here. It happens. And don't believe the idea that, my day is too hectic for God, right? Your day is hectic. That means you need God there. All right, so I'm all for, right, spiritual retreats and conferences, right? I love them. I mean, I think we should all do those things. We do them all the time. But it's not the, right, that's not the secret sauce to all of that, right? The secret sauce, the not-so-secret sauce is the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And that's why those things are powerful. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you, right? This is abiding in him, remaining in him, remaining in his word, letting the Holy Spirit saturate us. This is what can happen when we allow him to saturate us, not just soggy, but saturate. He created us to be in communion with him, and he gave us tools to do it, right? Not just going on retreat, but the Holy Spirit that resides in us as believers and the truth of his word and his promises. The writer of Hebrews declared the word of God to be divine and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, right? This is what works in our lives to make changes. So for application, I thought we'd get back to the basics, the power of the word. So if you're following along, we're at under application, we're getting close to the first fill in there. But before we do, I want to just read from Psalm 119. Background info here. The main point of Psalm 119 is that a faithful person should meditate on God's word to establish himself in the Lord. And Psalm 119 is grouped in sets of eight. Each eight verses follows the Hebrew alphabet. So we have this prose following the Hebrew alphabet. So verses 9 through 16 are the second stanza, or Beth, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, starting at verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Amen. All right. In verses, so the first fill in, cleansed by the word. Right. So this verses 9 through 11, first part of what we read. So in verse 9, an immensely important question is raised. How can a young person stay on the path? The original language here indicates a rut, like from a wheel, right? So like a wheel continues, creates a rut, and then you get stuck in this rut day in and day out, right? How do I get out of it? Well, that's a great question. I hope that you have asked that question too, right? If you find yourself in a rut, don't just stay in it. Right? God doesn't want us to be in this rut. He wants us to live an abundant life. And the abundant life isn't in a rut. It's saturated with Him. Right? So using the lingo of today's message, right? So it's how do I get out of the rut, but how do I get saturated and not just soggy? And the answer? By living according to your word. By living according to your word. Man, it might not seem like a super sexy, great answer, but it is the most powerful answer. Is it difficult? Sure. Jesus said that the broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. So is it difficult? Yes. We know that it's not impossible. We've all experienced it. So then the question is, well, how do I get out of that rut? How do I get saturated? And it's living according to His word. Interestingly, in the original context, the word for word is related to water and being cleansed, right? So it's kind of like soap and water is to your personal hygiene. The word is to cleansing your soul. So when we seek Him and hide His word in our hearts, He cleanses us, right? So again, probably not a revelation to you, but man, we probably don't utilize the power of this truth nearly as much in our lives as we should. So, right, this sounds refreshing. Don't all of us need to be refreshed? Probably all of us. So here's a challenge here, right? To maybe one verse a week, just memorize it. Memorize one verse a week and see what God does with that. As the power of His word resides in your heart. All right. Fill in number two. Blessed by the word. All right. Verses 12 through 14. Something interesting happens in verse 12. Right. Praise be to the Lord for all that He has revealed in us and that He will teach us. So with a sense of great joy, the psalmist blesses the Lord for what He has done. He's recognized that the Lord has greatly blessed him with His word that leads to life. And in return, he offers his thanksgiving and his praise. The writer of Hebrews connects this cleansing power and the blessing in chapter 10, verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." The most blessed God so desperately wants to cleanse us and bless us through His word. His word was given for us to find freedom and the highest joy. So let's accept His blessing and then praise Him in return. All right. And then fill in number three, delighted by His word. We see this in verses 15 and 16. So having assessed the word, the psalmist now makes a vow. I will meditate. I will meditate. Now, warning here. So we generally like things quick and easy. And by definition, meditating isn't quick. Meditating takes time. Many of you like the outdoors. So I think this story will resonate and provide some perspective. There's a gentleman named Carl Char Smith. And he was an 81-year-old guide at Yosemite National Park, and National Geographic did a story on him. And, the story was just sort of the great value and beauty of national parks, and specifically Yosemite, from this guy's perspective. And so they asked him a bunch of questions. And one of the questions they asked him was, what's the what's the hardest thing anybody ever asked you, like in the park during your tours? And he said, this one's easy. The hardest question I ever had was from a tourist who said, I've only got an hour here to spend at Yosemite. What should I do or what should I see? And he said, it almost brought me to tears. And I said to her, if I only had an hour, I would go sit down by that river and just cry. Right? So I can relate to this guy, Carl, a little bit. I've been to some really cool places. I've been to Yosemite, and I've been to several of the national parks. And I mean, I stayed for more than an hour, but even like a couple days, and you're like, man, I haven't really scratched the surface of right the beauty of what I could experience here. So, and that's just right an hour. It's just not even enough time to appreciate what the beauty that's available there. So this will help you resonate even more. I have a funny story that's kind of like the opposite of that. One time we had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon, and our girls were only, Julia was probably only five. And we're going to be there for a few days, but we hadn't even like checked in where we're staying yet, but there was kind of the scenic overview. So we're like, let's go ahead and let's check it out. So we hadn't been there for 30 seconds, and Julia has her hands on her hips with her little attitude, and she goes, just looks like a bunch of dirty rocks to me. And I'm thinking, are you serious? A bunch of dirty rocks to me. All right. But if we're honest, all right, so you heard both ends of that story, right? If you're honest, you've had thoughts like Julia about the power of God's word, right? All right, I've seen it, let's go, right? I got things to do. And, right, that's so not utilizing the power of God's word in our life. Right? I'm not suggesting that you have to be buried in your Bible constantly, but that's actually what we've learned, right? What we learned at life. I don't have to be buried in my Bible constantly. Here's an interesting thought. Never really thought about this much. I probably spent less time personally in my Bible that week than I ever do. Because, I mean, it wasn't zero, but it was less than normal because I was saturated by God's word in so many ways. I didn't have to be. And I'm not suggesting don't read your Bible, right? That's crazy. Don't tell Pastor Ed that I told you not to read your Bible. What I'm suggesting to you is that there's so many ways to be saturated by God's word. And we should be, right, individually in his word reading. But we can be saturated in so many ways, right? That's what the Spirit wants to do in our life. So, right, don't be like Julia at the Grand Canyon. I've seen it, let's go. 30 seconds in. Let's let the Holy Spirit, like, just work, right? Let's let God's truth just saturate us. We don't want to be soggy, we want to be saturated. So let's, here you go. This is like Nico, our five-year-old grandson. This is kind of what he's into now, right? I double dog dare you. Dig into the word and see what God does. All right. So Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, I think, is a pretty good summary of what we've discussed today. It says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. All right. So verse 1 is kind of like our Philippians 4:8 test. Fill our time, fill our hearts, our mind with the things of God, right? Not the things of the world. Verse 2 is letting God's worth, his truth, his promises just wash over us, saturate us. And verse 3 is a beautiful picture of the result. Right, a tree planted by the streams of water who yields its fruit, and whatever it does prospers. Doesn't that sound nice? Right? Don't we want that? Sounds like what we want in our life. I want to take verse 3 a bit further. not just a tree planted by the streams of water, but what if I told you there is a tree that walks? Tree that walks. You'd say, I don't think you got enough sleep from your trip yet. There's a tree that walks. So it's called the walking tree. There's a tree that grows in tropical locales. So I want you to picture this. Most of its root system, you can see its root system above the ground, right? So unlike most trees are pretty low, right? You can see it starting pretty high up. And when this tree recognizes that the nutrients it needs, the water, the nutrients, is in one direction over another, it starts to grow roots in that direction. And then the roots in the opposite direction start to die out. Now, this takes a long time, right? You don't just see it happening. But so it kind of looks over a long period of time, it kind of looks like the tree walks. But obviously it's not. But the point, right, the lesson that it teaches us is that we need to keep moving towards the good things of God, right? The high things of heaven, the things of God's kingdom, the pull of His Holy Spirit, the truth of His Word, His promises. Whatever you do, always move towards those things, right? Those are the things that refresh us, that restore us, that cleanse us, that purify us, that give us freedom and hope and joy. Like, why wouldn't we move to them? So let that be our prayer today, that we would be like this tree and move to the things of God. Let's pray. Lord God, and forgive us for when we don't allow you to saturate us, when we don't move towards the good things that you have for us. Lord, forgive us when we don't remember that you, Jesus, are the living water, the one that wants to saturate us. Forgive us for taking all those things for granted. We have looked to the things of this world to take your rightful place in our lives. But Lord, help us to get back on that narrow road that you've called us to. May we look only to you and to kingdom things. May we be saturated with your truth, with your promises, with your goodness. Thank you for the living water that cleans us, restores us, and blesses us, Lord. May we find delight in only you. It's in your powerful name we pray, Lord. Amen. All right. So before, Donna, you want to come on? Where's Donna? Is she down here yet? Before we close, we are going to celebrate with Donna in baptism. Yeah, come on up. I'm going to read. So I shared this with Donna, but we're going to just read from Romans 6. And it says this about baptism. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Amen. Right? So this is the baptism that Donna wants today and that she hopes that all of you find too, right? That just such a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. Right? He died, but in his power was able to rise again. And in his power, we can die to ourselves and then become a new creation. And this symbolizes that, right? We don't live to sin anymore. We live for him. And when you raise out of the water, right, just symbolizes this beautiful new creation that we are cleansed in this living water that we talked about, right? Not soggy, but saturated, right? Do you want to be saturated or soggy? Amen. All right. Come on in. Okay. All right. So I'm going to just ask Donna just a few questions. So Donna, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah prophesied in the Bible to be the Savior of the world? Yeah. And do you believe that he died for your sins, cleansed you, and your faith in Him allows you to be cleansed and to spend eternity with Him.
You do.
And do you desire to follow Him all the rest of your life? Amen. All right. Ready? All right. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. All right, hold on. Let's pray. Let's pray. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Donna and just this calling that you have in our life and this beautiful thing that you're doing inside of her. And Lord, I pray that that she would remember that you have called her to such good things, such beautiful things. And Lord, may the truth of your word and your promises, Lord, may they never leave her. Lord, may she come to them when she has struggles. Lord, we all do. But your spirit, your word, your truth, your promises, Lord, I pray that she would come to them and let them just wash over her and saturate her. Lord, that she would always look to you as a leader of her life. Lord, we thank you for Donna, for her example to us. Lord, we ask your blessing on her life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All
right. Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.